Scott may be known for the excellent trail shoes, but they have a super great special at the moment on the Fantastic Pursuit Road Shoe. Get yourself a pair for $99, and while you're there, check out the sweet deals they have on their other trail shoes too at scottrunning.nz. And what goes like chocolate and peanut butter? Scott shoes and Ultra Spire packs. If you are in the running for a special on a pack, head over to ultraspire.nz, check out the huge sale they've got going on there at the moment. There's $50 off the Big Bronco and Epic XT3, which we've been raving about for ages, the Astral 4, Summit XT, plus deals on reservoirs, accessories to keep you hydrated and comfortable. ultraspire.nz for more.
Plus peanut butter and chocolate.
You can fill your reservoir with whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Hey, look, Wild Things, there's exciting, exciting stuff going on there, including Rob has flicked us a new code. It's new code alert time. We need like a clanger for that. VIP discount codes will give you shop credit. So if you use the code DCR2023 to sign up for a new VIP membership, you'll get $20 credit to drop in the Wild Things shop. And obviously, you get the VIP discounts on top of that too. So it's like ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. So wildthings.club, use the code DCR2023 and get yourself a VIP membership.
Do you know what else rules? Purple pills rule. Currens. I've been using them in my training in the lead up to Blue Lake. They're fantastic. They help me with information. I feel better after I use them the next morning. And they're easy on my gut, they don't make me feel yuck, and not just me, but tons of other athletes, including some pretty famous names, Hayden Hawks, Dan Jones, Sam Harvey, Ruth Croft, they all use them, they think it's fantastic, and the good folks at Currens are going to give you 20% discount on your first purchase of Currens 30s with the code DIRTCHURCH. That's currens.co.nz. Read the science, purple pills rule. I don't have a code for this one, but further faster. I mean, you'll hear in the episode how it rained a bit at Blue Lake, but I was sweet as because I had my Montane Minimus Stretch seam seal jacket on, and that's just one of many offerings at Further Faster. And look, we're getting into the point of the year where it's big ultra season. We're heading into, you know, Tarawera is in the headlights. There may be lots of you stepping into this realm wondering, what's a seam seal jacket? Do yourself a favor. Don't get torn apart in the comments. Drop Further Faster a line, visit them at furtherfaster.co.nz for some friendly advice, or 57A Buchan Street, Sydenham, Otutahi Christchurch, the best independently owned outdoor store in the known universe. Finger guns.
Further Faster there in Christchurch, Rocky is hairy and so is Badger, Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious, go to Further Faster now.
Oh, Further Faster there in Christchurch, Rocky is hairy and so is Badger, Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious, go to Further Faster now.
Dirtchurch Radio.
Episode 251 of Dirtchurch Radio. I'm Matt Raymond.
Tēnā koutou katoa. I am Eugene Bingham. We made it.
We did.
Have you tried out yet, though?
I'm officially hydrophobic after that experience.
The good old Blue Lake 24-hour challenge was certainly putting the challenge in the Blue Lake 24-hour challenge.
Yeah, the Blue Lake 24-hour challenge was challenging, and as you will hear in the episode, my goodness me, it threw up some challenges, meteorological ones notwithstanding. It was a great time, and 700 people tearing around Lake Tikitapu in Rotorua, one of the many, many lakes in that region, and yeah, fantastic, but very, 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 very muddy and very, very technical. And I got to talk to, I mean, we can sort of go through how my race went, but, you know, you'll hear later on in the conversation, I got to speak with Gareth Morris. We also got to speak with Chris Townley, Kurt Matthews, and Meg Collins, because the event was called off after 15 hours. And when I woke up in the morning after a couple of hours of ultramarathon-induced stupor, there was no one there, basically. And the crew... because it was, and the crew were tearing around, tearing everything down in a rainstorm. So,
So was it wet from the get-go? Like, so you rolled up on Friday, right?
Yeah, so we rolled up on Friday. We got into Rotorua after, you know, stopping off at the supermarket for one last sort of thing of supplies and filling up some extra jerry cans, ironically, with water at the camper van station. We rolled over the hill, up Tarawera Road and to Tikitapu. And we got there and we thought, oh, actually, this isn't too bad. There'd been some rain on the way down. And then, you know, see people, you know, we went out for dinner and that was really nice. And then we were laying in bed and just the rain started coming down and coming down. And we were laying there in the camper van, just listening to the rain on the roof. And they have this tradition at Blue Lake that they crank the PA at 5 a.m. on the morning of, and they have a theme for the first hour. So this year it was Christmas music. Yeah. So there's this heavy rain and the
Snoopy's Christmas.
No, it wasn't Snoopy's Christmas. It was the Michael Bublé It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, and it was quite eerie and spooky with the acoustics of the lake and the water and the the jump it was sodden.
And look, for those who don't know about Blue Lake Challenge, 24-hour challenge, it starts at
8 a.m.
What time?
Yeah, so it starts at 8 a.m.
And it's basically pretty much self-supported, isn't it? But there's sort of a number of different distances or challenges you can take on.
Yeah, so you can do casual laps, which is as many as you think that you can do. You can sign up for the Midnight Marathon. You can sign up for the Mug, which is the 100K, the Buckle, which is the 100 mile, or the Claw, which is the 200K. And there was certainly, I think there's about 13, 14 people signed up for the Claw, including Simon Cochrane was back and Carl Reed was given it a good nudge as well. My goodness me, were they what? But there's a half marathon distance as well. But the marathon starts at midnight and the half marathon, I think, starts at 4 a.m. So it's fiendish, and they very much are, you know, I think their safety briefing is along the lines of don't be stupid and don't die. And the responsibility is very much put onto the participant to turn up with the appropriate, you know, things to get them around.
Wherewithal. And so you mark yourself off on a board or something? Is
that right? That's one of the really cool things about it. So you write your name down wherever you want to. So, and then each time you go around, you've got a pen and you mark off little dashes, and then you know, every five you cross it, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
And the lap starts and finishes there.
And so people were laying it down, as you mentioned. Simon Crockett was chasing the Claw, having captured it last year, the 200K, first person to do it. He was going after it this time, again, obviously thwarted by the closure of the course, but pretty amazing performances. Who else sort of, you know, stood out for you in terms of either, you know, like their athleticism or just sheer doggedness, etc.?
So, I mean, Carl Reed, you know, he's come back from, I mean, he's had several surgeries. Last year I spoke to the man, he was, you know, he's such a competitor and there's such a fire with him in him. And you could see that last year when he couldn't run, he went out and walked a few just because he had to do something. And he was chasing Simon hard. But they really stood out. And the technicality of that course with the lake was really, really high. So there'd been the first sort of three, maybe 2K, 2.5K were significantly changed. There was about 500 meters more road. They cut in some single track, which was quite technical, and then got muddy. So that was cool. But, you know, they were traveling super fast. There was just amazing performances. Your friend shout out, but I think about like some of the people who came down from Beer Jerk who I knew, who, you know, had never run much more than a marathon, who, you know, Deonna Callum, 100K, Leah and Sarah ultra marathons, you know, people just smashing it out of the park. Yep. And that was widespread. Meg Collins, I mean, who you'll hear from later. My goodness me, Shauna Madeline Collins' daughter. Annie Rose Collins, marathon. Zara Collins, 60K. You know, incredible. Just and those are just the people who sort of were in my direct radar.
Yeah, yeah. And so for your good self, so you set off at what time?
8 o'clock. So I was off.
And you had a Hundi in mind.
Yep. Yeah, I had a Hundi in mind. I was down for the mug, and that was my stated goal. It was what I trained for, and I wasn't really going to accept, well, I wasn't going to accept anything less. And yeah, what a day. Like, what a day. conditions notwithstanding, couldn't have really gone better.
Perfect.
The thing that really did mess me up was my feet. You know, earlier on in the race, had to change my socks twice, and then changed my shoes about 45-50K in, because they're just getting a bit wrecked with how wet it was and how muddy. And you know, with the Rotorua mud, it's gritty, it's pumicey, and it's just it's in there. So
it really does get in. So that just when you say your feet, just because of the water, issue,
just
water
the
and mud,
water, mud, grit, and incredible moments through, you know, had some amazing conversations. Tim Day, the legend of you know, Tarawera, and
Sir Tim Day,
Sir Dr. Lord Tim Day, past DCR guest. He saw me at one of the transitions, and then he comes clumping up and he's like, "I'm going to run a lap with you, mate." And I haven't run a step since he'd broken his back. He'd fallen out of a tree and broken his back and done other horrific injuries. But Tim Day, being Tim Day, was wearing tramping, like steel cap work boots or tramping boots, and like one of those swan dry dress things and a beanie, and ran a lap with me, which was utterly incredible. Like, special. I've been quite a fan of that man for a long time, and that was amazing. So just one of many incredible interactions.
Yeah, and it seems like, a you know, and as much as there are people going there and laying it down and including your good self, it seems a real social atmosphere as well. That's such a, that's so much a part of what that particular event is all about.
Yeah, it's really social, and there was a lot of love for Dirt Church Radio there. You know, you would have loved it, and people, there's lots of comments. There was a few people who talked about Greatest Run Ever, and they were promptly shut down and told to, you know, put up or shut up. But
well, actually, we are just on that point. Sorry, a bit of salesmanship here, but we are getting low. The old tank's getting low.
Okay,
so I think you need to go back and find those people and actually make them sit down and write it, like, while you're there. So,
Dion, Andrew, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
Come on. We're literally down to two to go.
Okay. There we go. Yeah,
so two in the bank.
All those people at Blue Lake who are like, this might be a greatest run ever or whatever. Yeah. Just do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Send them through. So anyway, sorry. So then you were chasing it down. Things were going well. But as well as you chasing it down, the rain was bucketing down. So were you, I mean, at what point did you consider that they might shut the course?
Not till, it was really interesting. I mean, around, I can't really remember what lap it was, but I was like, at one point I was about half hour up on a goal time and running really well. And then it started to get really heavy rain. I was like, oh, I'm feeling a bit full, no wonder, and I need to kind of slow down. And then I see this person with a baby on their back in this really technical piece of trail, and I was like, and it was this bloody Ellie Pottinger and Sebastian. And so that was amazing. That was like, we walked for ages and walked the stairs and gave me an opportunity to sort of calm the farm and, you know. And we, you know, commented on the rain, but she was out there getting it done. So, and she's a stud, right? But she had like a little human being on her back in one of those frame things and was coping well. And I never really considered, we never really considered the course would be shut until the last lap that we were out on. Like I was out with Callum McGarvey, and we both sort of looked at each other at one point and was like, is this rain's really like running downhill? And it was like a river running behind you.
Wow.
Yeah. On the back seat of leagues.
And by that stage, it's well dark, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So it got dark around 5:30.
Yeah.
And that certainly changed the degree of difficulty of the course, you know, like it was the mud and the roots and the rocks and the everything. And but it made it, you know, it made it, I found it very fun. It was a course that actually played to a lot of my comparative strengths, and that it was quite technical in places, which I like. And so, yeah, but it wasn't on the last lap. I was like, I hadn't worn a jacket all day. I'd changed shirts and I'd put some arm sleeves on, but I thought I'm getting a little bit cold. Yeah. And I looked over at Callum and he weighs about as much as probably one of my legs. And he looked like he was super cold. And we sort of looked at each other and went, what happens if we get in and they, you know, they shut the course? But as we were running through that last sort of mile, 2K, super runnable, we could hear trees falling in the forest. So
So it wasn't really a surprise.
No, we actually got in and we said to them, and we said to Kurt and Sarah, we said, look, there's people out there in genuine distress, because we'd passed a couple of people who were quite distressed. And we said, you know, this is, you know, I mean, it's, we're going to keep going. We're on lap 16. We're good to go. Like we're up for it, you know? And they were like, no, we're shutting the course. So not much you can do at that point.
No. And people were cool about it by the sounds of it.
Oh, look, it was the complete, you know, what I really respect about, what I really love about Blue Lake is it's quite anarchistic, you know, like they really do encourage people to take care of themselves. But I thought that the race briefing is literally like, don't be stupid, don't die. But at the end of the day, when they saw that it had reached a tipping point into people have the potential to get hurt or sick or lost or that, they pulled the pin immediately. And I think that, you know, if you looked at the DNF or the people who didn't achieve what they set out to do, you know, there were 700 people who had signed up, and, you know, people were pulling left, right, and center and just saying, you know, enough's enough. And this is in the daylight. Yeah. So,
Hey, well, I mean, amazing, amazing event. Super proud of you, because I know how much you worked for that. You know, we trained together lots, and I saw you on the Thursday or the Wednesday, and you were looking super fit and ready to go, and no sign of tape madness at that stage. So I'm super proud of you for, you know, knocking it off and also just enjoying it as well. You know, like, amazing run, bro. Amazing run.
Thank you. Yeah. If I could give one piece of advice to anyone who's listening to this show and has not run an ultra marathon and who wants to run an ultra marathon, my piece of advice would be patient. That's the one thing that I said to myself the whole day was just be patient, just be patient. My mind didn't want it, just be patient. I am 46 years old. I ran my first 100K when I was 38. I was, or 30, maybe it was 10 years ago. I can't, but you know, some mid to late 30s, I was, you know, probably 10 kilos lighter, much, you know, comparatively, you'd say I was fitter, I'm 5K times or faster, 10K times, all of that. But I didn't have the experience or the kind of mental structure, you know. I feel like I kind of rushed into it, and I almost wish that I'd waited. So, yeah, it was fantastic. It was, I feel like my brain's been steam cleaned pretty much. I can't wait. Like, I don't feel like I have unfinished business, because there's no doubt that in my mind that I wouldn't have just ripped around again and got my mug. But
because technically you were one lap.
So 96K.
Yeah.
But I'll take that. You know, that's not.
Yeah, totally.
I'm good with that. Like, and.
No. It's just clarifying. That's what you mean by taking
technically,
the mark.
Yeah, technically. Absolutely. I won. Yeah. And to be fair to them, we did kind of say, come on, give us a mug. We're nearly, yeah. And they gave us a mug. So we're pretty happy. You got a mug.
And besides, your watch was, you know, the rain was playing havoc with your watch. So according to Strava, you did about 106
so, including a run to Nonga Taha and back.
It's the opposite of if it's not on Strava.
Yeah.
You know, it's on Strava.
Yeah.
Therefore.
That's right. And I think what happened there was the old, you know, with the weather conditions, the old GPS just went, you know what? Oh, I've had enough.
I'm having a rest. Yeah. Anyway. Hey, look, I'm looking forward to hearing the interviews that you captured. And we should crack on unless there's anything else you want to add.
No, just again, like a further thanks to the organising committee, the volunteers. They do a lot of hard work. It's Koha based. They do have sponsors, but it's Koha. And 10 years next year, so check it out, go down, see what it's like. It's a, you know, and I'll say they'll hate me for this. Events like this, events like Riverhead Rampage, events like Crush the Cargill, you know, grassroots, volunteer led, the heart and countless others, heart and soul of the trail running community. So go check them out.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? The last two races that we've done, you know, Naseby and Blue Lake, you know, kind of very, very grassroots, community focused. And yet, you know, they've still got the buzz, they've still got the Wairua. They're so super cool and we enjoy them. So, you know, get amongst it, people.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I just want to give a couple of updates. Last episode, we mentioned Gavin Clifton, a firefighter from the Blue Mountains in Australia, who was going to be climbing up and down the Furbus Steps, which is one thing, but doing it in full firefighter kit with a whole lot of other people, including Ben Berryman and others. Well, he only went and knocked the bastard off, and we asked him for an update, and here's what he had to say. I just wanted to share briefly with you on our day on the Furbus Steps. What a night and day it was. 9:20 p.m, 75 of us met at the main entrance to Scenic World to be amazed and blessed by David King, a.k.a. Dingo Darby, conduct the most amazing and moving welcome ceremony, before sending us off for a 10 p.m. kickoff into the Blue Mountains night. Super humid, he says, but inviting. Anyway, so there were 40 enthusiastic and supportive trail runners and fireys who started off on the journey, and they were heading for 18 hours nonstop. Spirits were high all night into the daylight, and the support and encouragement from everyone was nothing short of inspiring. Sunrise, says Gavin, saw me crashing a little with only surviving on race nutrition and gels the entire night. Oof. 6:30 a.m, the Scenic World staff welcomed with toasted sandwiches, hot coffee, bacon and egg rolls, and boom, it was like we hadn't been climbing. Food never tasted so good. Sunrise saw us smiling as ever and super supportive Ben Berryman, with Lewis arrive in support, along with his BMMC crew. Shout out to them. Those guys are amazing. Floating in and out all day. Over the course of the day, over 160 people came and went before and after work, during work breaks to join in, do it hard for motor neurons disease sufferers. I even had four Kiwis who were holidaying in Oz showed up. They heard our shout out on DCR. And they came over and spent 4 hours or so climbing with me, he says. So pumped after meeting them. 4 p.m. Saturday afternoon, 18 hours later, 28 repetitions. Sadly, so hot on the day I couldn't hit the 30 that I wanted to. Just over 56.5 kilometers for four of us, some 45 kilometers, some less, some more, none more important than the other. We finished feeling closer together than ever for our combined journey over the night and day, knowing so much awareness had been created and much needed funds raised for our motor neurons disease charity. This year's Fireys Climb raising just over $31,000. Fantastic. We'll do it again next year, August 31st, 24 hours nonstop. Oosh. Would love to have you involved. Oh.
For those,
how's those quads?
Just for those listening, I mean, everyone who's done the Furbus Stairs, right? Yeah. You just, what would the kids say? It's a whole mood. It's a vibe.
Oh, yeah.
They're ridiculous.
They're redonkulous.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, superb, great effort to Gavin and everyone involved. Wow, we'd have to do some serious thinking about getting involved in that nonsense. Holy moly. Yeah, absolutely.
Look, while I was getting drenched at Blue Lake, the same was happening on the north shore of Auckland, where a bunch of good sorts were looping the lake for some amazing distances.
Well, the track, sorry.
They're looping the lake around the track.
Yeah.
There's a lake.
It was a lake.
There's a lake. Yeah, I reckon. You know me, mate. I just read what's on the cards. Fantastic performances, heaps of people there, and they were rugged. There was rugged conditions anywhere, everywhere, including our own third Beatle, Andrew McDowell, who set a bunch of records in the 12-hour, Carol Robertson, Shannon Lee Litt, Kim Allen, Keith Burrows, Sam Beale, James Inwood, Wayne Botha, Andrew Glennie, heaps of others. Kia kaha, well done all. I would rather run around the Blue Lake than run around a track for 24 hours.
That would have been super wet.
Yeah.
Super wet. I mean, not well, Blue Lake was weird as well, but yeah, I see your point. Look, I'm going to give a shout out to, I know we mentioned the new website for Wild Things right at the top, but look, if you haven't had a look at the website, go and check it out because there's some cool stuff on it as well as a bunch of new features. It's better to use a mobile, but there's some cool stuff like new mapping that allows 3D and flyovers of trails. You never have to leave your home again, basically. You just enjoy the trails. But, you know, just go and have a look, give it a go. And Rob has also added in a couple of free trials so anyone can get the new VIP experience a go. So go and check it out, wildthings.club. Anyway, we should get on with this.
Greatest run ever, which is the part of the show where we ask you to write in and tell us your greatest run ever. It doesn't have to be a race or a mountain summit. Might just be that run around the block or the lake or the track, Dion. Something that's sung to you for some reason. Send them in to us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. And this is from Ben Wicks, and this is a Blue Mountain related GRE. Oh my God. Ben writes, I just realized what my greatest run ever has been. It was March 2019, I was over in Sydney on a work trip. It was around 6 a.m. I was on a mission. I'd flown in Sydney on Saturday, stayed overnight in Blackheath in the Blue Mountains, figured out a route over some red wine the night before, and if it all went well, I'd get a good 6-hour adventure in before heading back to the CBD to meet my workmates for dinner and resume normal life. I wasn't feeling great. Maybe that was the red wine, and it was so much colder than expected, but I wanted that sunrise, so out the door I went. I followed a short single track blast through some bush under headlamp, which popped out into the clifftop track right on sunrise. It was so good. The orange glow on the horizon behind the silhouettes of the mountains, the blue sky starting to show some color, and beneath me what looked like an endless canyon filled with bright white clouds. I stopped in my tracks. And then, like a little kid, I would run around the track a bit further to see if there was an even better vantage point. Stop, stare, run, repeat. It left me wondering a couple things. One, how did I survive that without face planting as I was so distracted? And two, where is everyone? How can so many people live so close to this place and I'm one of only a dozen or so people out here? Eventually, I dropped down into the valley. It was cold, damp, perfect for running, and I was so surprised to see lush green bush and ferns. This run just couldn't get any better. I was so alive. The trail started getting a bit difficult to follow. I remember some boulders taller than me that I really didn't want to be clambering around on my own, but I had lost sight of where the track was going and my map was far from accurate, so I found myself tentatively exploring 100 meters in each direction across some sketchy terrain. Was the magic over? Was my epic adventure turning into short out and back? Finally, after a few pushes further into the bush, the track reemerged and I found myself running along a narrow track with long grass lashing my shins. Or were they snakes? I mean, it's going to be one or the other. Or both. You know, Ben says he remembered that there were snakes in Australia and that is something that plagues all of us who go there. Again, I contemplated the choices in front of me. I could turn back. I could just keep going. I decided not to be scared of snakes and just run fast. By the time I reached a junction in the track where I planned to head back towards Blackheath, the day had heated up considerably. I was definitely in Australia in summertime. The buzz of the early morning wonders had worn off, and now I was working a bit harder for the miles as I headed back towards those cliffs. Now I was overthinking and second-guessing my time estimates. Was I going to be late? The primary reason for being here was work. What if I turned up in a completely fatigued, dysfunctional state? I carried on. The track was taking me back up the cliff face. I was pushing, overheating. The sun was beating down on me. It was not easy. But the Blue Mountains had one final magical surprise for me. I first noticed ice-cold water was running down the cliff face. And then on this blistering hot day, I found myself completely drenched in a shower of cold rain that was pouring down from the cliffs high above me. That moment seemed ridiculous and unbelievable and will stick with me forever. I best summed it up in a post that day, possibly my all-time favorite day on the trails. Days like these are why I do all the training runs that I do. So true. Greatest run ever.
Wow, Ben. And if you look on the website, you can have another read of it. But he's also sent us a picture, which we've put up as well, of those magnificent Blue Mountains. We do love them, don't we,
Matt? I'd done all those things, been scared about snakes, thought about smashing my teeth out because I was looking at the view. Go to the Blue Mountains. Yep. It's fantastic.
Been running along thinking, am I going to make it back for work?
Yes.
I've done that.
Yes, I have done that too.
Turn up, still sweating, you know, red-faced, even though you've showered. Anyway, thank you, Ben. That was wonderful. The rest of you, as I mentioned, we're running a bit low, down to our last two. So send them in, looking at you, Dion. Send them in dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. Okay.
And Andrew from Wellington. Andrew.
And Andrew from Wellington, do it. Come on. We'll find you.
I know where he is. Actually, I'm not going to threaten people because this is a safe space.
Why are we starting now? Yeah. 250 episodes in. We've got a new policy.
It's okay, getting more threatening. Okay, on with the...
We're so white these days.
That's right. With the Blue Lake Bonanza. Okay, as we talked about at the top, the race was called off this year after 15 hours because of all the weather, which had been reasonably appalling all day. It turned, as I've heard it described, as biblical. So when I awoke from my 4 hours of post-ultramarathon twitchy sore days.
Or the leg kicky days.
The leg, like chasing the rabbit down the hole. The lakefront, it was all but deserted. There was a few people around, you know. It wasn't the usual buzz. But I staggered, you know, got my Crocs down, staggered down the hill, and who did I bump into but the legend Gareth Morris, who was setting up an interview with the organisers and not wanting to take up too much of their precious time because it was raining cats and dogs and they had a job to do. I piggybacked on, so I caught up with Gareth, and then you'll hear me talk to, we talked to Chris Townley, Kurt Matthews, and then back up the hill and had a quick word with Meg Collins, who really has just started, you know, smashing it out of the park this year. You know, her parents, Madeline, Sean Collins, legends on the orienteering ultramarathon endurance scene in New Zealand. She's one of three sisters, you know, Annie Rose, first marathon, Zara, a 60K, and Meg knocked it out of the park. And on the 100K, it was in a brutal fashion. So please enjoy this. And, you know, thank you very much for listening. And thank you to the organizers of Blue Lake. And yeah, enjoy.
Dirt Church Radio.
State your name for the record.
I'm Gareth Morris, sometimes known as Westy Runner on YouTube.
And we've kind of got a bit of a multimedia thing going on here because you're recording the lake and I'm speaking into the lake. No, I'm not speaking into the lake. I am talking into a podcasting device. Where are we?
We are at Tiki Tapu, also known as Blue Lake, for the Blue Lake 24-hour challenge, or what remains after a... Well, it's been a whole thing, I guess, with, you know, reminiscent of the 2014 cyclone Tarawera, 2018 100K Tarawera, where it was a little bit on the wet side, possibly even moist, I think.
Yeah, it rained the whole time, and they actually made the decision to close the course around about 11 o'clock last night, I think, because of the level of challenge and difficulty, and there were some genuine safety concerns, and the trail was incredibly challenging by that point. So, yeah. How was your Blue Lake experience?
I came down here to try and shoot a sort of 20-minute documentary, I guess, and do a few laps myself. I might have to take a rain check on how the documentary is coming along. We might get away with a 5-minute sort of fun vid. But I did some laps. I did a couple of slow laps, a couple of hot laps. And towards the end, it was getting pretty spicy out there. But I'm really glad I did, just because, you know, we were in, even though the weather's pretty average, we're in a beautiful place with a bunch of like-minded people doing stuff that, you know, taking opportunities you've just got to take when you can to go and do something fun out on the trails. So, yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking about that before, weren't we? It seems like in terms of how life is at the moment, you have to just take your opportunities to go out and grab it with both hands when you can. And that's not to be too, like, you know, cliched, but it you could, that's the thing, you could make the choice to stay home, or you can make the choice to come out here and do something like this.
You got to take the opportunities when they happen. I had a medical event just over 12 months ago that, in theory, could have ended my life. It didn't. I'm fine. But it makes you more aware that we are, you know, no one gets out of here alive. And you've got to take the opportunity to do things when you can, even though the conditions might not be ideal. The conditions weren't ideal, but I still saw a whole bunch of people getting out there from ages 5 or 6 up to 50 or 60, everything in between, and having a good time in the mud.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic, and there were some quite stunning displays of athleticism, as there always is at events like this, which are normally, you know, they're very low key, but there's some people who come to send it, and that was fun. And that was really fun seeing people who perhaps this was their first lap or the first time in the trail, and yeah, so good.
It really was. I remember just hanging out doing some filming, and there was this kid who was maybe 6 or 7 years old, and bless him, he was caked. It's like he came down some of the steeper bits of the trail and obviously just went wahoo and caked himself from the tips of his toes to pretty much the top of his crown. And he looked still pretty happy with the whole situation, I've got to say. So, but there were some people doing some fast things and some people just going around at their pace, you know? And yeah, I didn't see anyone particularly unhappy about the day. So they were getting out there and making that opportunity.
Yeah, and it was interesting. So in terms of my own run, not having run in conditions as wet as this for a long time, managing that, and then when the sun went down, obviously the degree of difficulty just ramped up. You know, it really did chuck a new element of challenge in there. And then when the rain really, it had rained all day, but the rain really, really started, and Callum and I were very happy at the end when we were told, you know, hey, look, we're shutting down. So we were fully prepared to go out and, you know, get our 17th lap in, but you know, in the interests of safety and well-being, we called it a day when we were told to. So it was excellent. What is up for you next? What's the plan?
I've got the Auckland Marathon in 5 weeks. I've had a bit of a difficult week at work, and I had a cold about 10 days ago, so I don't quite know how that's going to go. But I'm kind of deciding what I want to do. I've got my eye on a couple of adventures over Christmas. Last year I was hoping to climb Mount Taranaki after I did round the mountain track with my mate Kirk Bakes. I'm not sure whether that will happen or not, but once I'm done with Auckland, hopefully we will have some kind of summer, unlike early 2023, late 2022.
Yeah, that was, we got 2 days in Auckland before we came down that were the best all year.
Yeah, and then to have this, bit disappointing, but like I say, you know, make the most of it, get out there, do what you can when you can do it.
Words of wisdom. Thanks, bro.
Right. For the record.
Yes.
Who are you?
I am Chris. That's pretty much about it. I am Kurt's lackey, is what I am. Yeah.
What do you do in Blue Lake?
What I do, I do a little bit of behind the scenes stuff. I hurl lots of abuse over the PA system. I wake people up at 5 a.m. Yeah, Christmas music this year. It was good. Yeah, about an hour of Christmas music on loop.
And some mid-90s power ballads. I thoroughly approved.
Yep. Mid-90s were in there as well. Yeah, they were from 6 a.m. onwards. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just look after runners, really. Yep.
Okay, so tell me about this whole Blue Lake 24-hour challenge. What is it?
It is a 24-hour challenge around Blue Lake. Run 24 hours or not. Pretty much turn up. If you want to run 24 hours, you run 24 hours. If you want to do... What, sorry?
I was just saying, look at me. So what is this? Crazy Blue Lake thing.
If you want to run 24 hours, you run 24 hours. If not, you turn up, you do some laps, have a beer, do some more laps, go to town, come back, do some laps. You pretty much just do whatever you want to do. The whole idea is to push your limits, to see how far you can go. It's a nice safe course, 6K, you're back here. You don't need to take compulsory equipment, food, water, anything like that. You've got 6K to get back here. So it's quite achievable. Quite an achievable thing to do. Yeah.
Fantastic. How did the event get started?
Kurt had an idea. How many times can we run around the lake in 24 hours? And he had this idea for about 4 years until I got sick and tired of him talking about it and I created a Facebook event. And it literally just went from there. First year, 9 years ago, we had 5 people. It progressed to about 20 the following year. And then from there, it just grew exponentially. Yeah, we outgrew our Down by the Ski Club where we used to be. Outgrew that venue, so we popped up here to where we are now, above the terraces and above the lake.
Why on earth would anyone come out on a weekend where the weather has been less than optimal, come out here, run around a lake for, unfortunately, not 24 hours? But why do people do this?
I asked that question 3 times this weekend. Why are people here? They don't pay to come here. They get abused by me on the microphone for, I was going to say 24 hours, but it was only 15 this year. I really don't know. I think it's just the funness. Fun? Is that a word? Funness?
Sure.
Cool. It's the fun atmosphere. There's no stress. You're not dropping a fair bit of cash on an entry fee. So there's no expectation of doing anything great. You just turn up and something great happens. It's really weird. I can't answer that question because I don't actually know why people keep turning up. It's mystery.
Yeah. I've got to ask.
Yep.
The stairs.
Stairs. Yeah. There was only
Tell
one.
Tell me about the stairs.
There was only one set this year. Usually there's 2 sets. Only one set. What do you want to know about them? Stairs of Doom. Yeah, they're there. They're great. They're fantastic.
Are you some megalomaniacal genius who likes inflicting pain on people? Or is it just the natural topography of the landscape?
No. First question, yes. Pretty much, yes. People are like, why stairs? Why not? It's part of the challenge. It really is. Evilness. Putting people through pain. It's great. It's funny. It's actually entertaining. Yeah. It really is. I don't know. We're out. Yep. I don't know. It's good. It's just, watching people in pain. It's great.
Fantastic event, full of spirit. How do you put on, logistically, we'll talk about the ethos of the thing. How do you, logistically, do you put on an event like this for nothing, essentially?
Ethos is a big word. How do we do it? A lot of hours behind a computer, basically. There's a lot of background stuff. A lot of ideas. I have a folder on my computer of ideas! And only not even a third of them get implemented in here. There's just lots of work, lots of background work. Lots of work with the council, which have been really good with us, for us, to us. Lots of admin. A few ideas. We brought another person on as the admin team this year, which was really helpful. Just lots of talking to people. What do you want? We want to do this. Well, let's go and do this thing. So, it's...
What's the spirit of the event? From you as an organizer, looking at all the people. Sorry, I'm really bad at multiple questions and stacking them together.
Yeah. The spirit is fireball. No, I don't really know. Kurt would be the one to answer that question. He's more articulate than me. I just turn up and hurl abuse at people. Yeah, no,
I'm into that.
Couldn't tell you. Nice, good. Right, let me done.
How are you doing this morning?
Good, tired, but not as tired as other years. Have had a bit of sleep last night, so that's actually a first for Blue Lake, getting some sleep. So,
yeah. Tell me about the decision to pull the course.
Yeah, a few tough calls this year. I mean, throughout the day, really, we made a few changes to the course with the mud and that picking up. It was actually quite funny. Chris was having a little bit of a sleep, and I was having a little bit of sleep in the tent, and so was Chris. Not that I knew he was in there, and I was listening to the rain on the roof, and I actually thought I was waiting for a radio call to say, you know, maybe we need to think about pulling the pin. We'd been watching the weather forecast, obviously, for the days leading up to it. We knew what was coming, and I came up to the HQ tent unknowingly. Chris was still having a sleep, and I had to talk to some of the other crew, and I sort of said to them, you know, where's Chris? I think we all need to sit down and have a chat. And he was in bed, so I went down and sort of shook him and woke him up. And he'd been looking at the weather too. And he goes, oh, I actually just sent you a message. What do you think about the course and closing the course? And I said, look, mate, this is what I've just come down to talk to you about. So we'd obviously both been thinking the same thing. So it was a very easy decision to make at the end. We just made the call, ran with it. And it was ultimately the best decision on the day. And I think the thing that shows that is when you've got runners out on course that are one lap away from completing their 100-kilometre effort, and they say to you that it's a good call, you know, they're so close. And when they say to you, you know, you've made the right decision, and there was multiple people that said that, and that sort of cements that you have done the right thing.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing.
It's never an easy thing.
An RD,
no.
you'll kind of want to be doing, really. So... how did you get the idea for Blue Lake? I'm told you the idea came from you.
Yeah, well, I do come up with a lot of stupid ideas, and I guess when we came up with this, ultra running was in New Zealand, really, was in its infancy. Tarawera, I think, had been going for a couple of years. There wasn't many other ultra marathons around, but there was a lot of people that were keen to do it, but people were a bit scared to do it because, you know, 100 kilometers was an unknown. So going out and training for a 100-kilometer run, if you end up, you're in the bush, you might be halfway into a run, you might be 50 kilometers from the nearest support or aid station. So people, I think, were a little bit nervous about the sort of distance. And I thought the Blue Lake was an ideal place where you could do a 6-kilometer loop. You know, you're never more than 3 kilometers from the aid station. So if anything happens, it's quite a safe way to do it, a way to push your limits, but not, you know, be taking too many risks at the same time.
Tell me about the range of people that run Blue Lake.
This event is, I guess, eclectic might be the word. There's people from all walks of life that come here. Being a free event, we wanted to make it sort of inclusive to everyone. You know, ultra marathons can be quite pricey, especially by the time you travel somewhere, pay the entry fees. So it does exclude a lot of people. So by having it free, we just wanted to make it open to everyone. It's a great entry into ultra marathons, but then it's also great for people that experienced in ultra marathons and want to try something different, a different format, or try and push themselves. So they might have done 100 kilometers or 100 miles before, but here they can say, well, let's actually see what I can do. So it's similar for both of the people that are coming for the first time and want to see what they can do, or the people that have run a dozen ultra marathons and still want to see how much further they can go.
Have you got to run an ultra marathon to come and run at Blue Lake?
No, you can. This is a lot of people's first marathon, first half marathon, first 100K. So a lot of firsts happen at Blue Lake. And a lot of people that, because over 24 hours, it's good that people can come, they can do a bit of a run, they've got time to have a rest, and they go a bit further. So they're not under any pressure for time for like a marathon. It's not like, oh, I need to try and stay with a group I'm going to finish in 6 hours or 5 hours or 4 hours. They can say, then come to the event and say, hey, I've done a marathon at Blue Lake. It might have taken them 24 hours, but it's still an awesome achievement for them. And it's not like they're not feeling the pressure, I guess, of having to fit within a time slot.
Tell me about the spirit of Blue Lake. If there's a feeling to it, what's the feeling of the event?
Yeah, well, I think this event has a unique feeling because I think one of the things that does that is it being a free event. Everyone looks after everyone. So there is just like a massive community feeling, a community spirit where everyone gets together. We have an aid station that's a communal aid station. So people bring all sorts of, you know, bacon and egg pies or cakes, home baking. And, you know, everyone helps everyone. Everyone looks after everyone. There's tents that if people don't have a tent site, they're happy to share with their friends or people they don't know. They become friends. Lots of friendships are formed at Blue Lake. Chris met his now wife at Blue Lake. So, yeah, it's a great community feel, community spirit, and just everyone's, even in weather like this, everyone is, you know, happy, bubbly, and yeah.
The hot tub. I've got to ask. Tell me about the hot tub, man.
Well, yeah, having a Sparky as part of the crew, he's managed to work his magic and create a hot tub that doesn't need electricity. So he's got a gas calefont installed on it, and so we can have a hot tub at the Blue Lake overlooking this magnificent view here. So I think it's probably the best spa pool in Rotorua on race day, but the key to it is getting in early. There is one rule for the spa, and it's if you go in it, you need to go into the lake first. So it also makes you appreciate the spa a little bit more.
The other name for Blue Lake is Tiki Tapu. Do you know the origin story of the name Tiki Tapu?
I don't know if I can do it justice, but yeah, obviously Tiki is like a, you know, the Māori necklace or your carving, and I don't know the exact story, but it was thrown into the lake, and I actually probably don't really want to speak on it because
that's okay. This all gets edited.
The idea
is just to talk about the event in the place.
I would hate to get the story wrong.
All good.
I do know it, but I would hate to miss
final question, I guess. Coming back next year.
Well, next year's the 10th anniversary of Blue Lake, so I guess we have a few ideas. You never know what we're going to do at Blue Lake, so watch this space.
All right, who am I talking to?
I'm Meg Collins.
And we're at Blue Lake. And if you turn around, Meg, and look at the lake, it's the nicest it's been in 24 hours.
It's way nicer. If we were riding in that, it would have been a splendid day.
You had a pretty splendid day. Meg, you know, your mother and father are fairly well known in the New Zealand endurance scene, Sean and Madeline Collins, and you've gone and knocked out your first 100K run, 19 years old. How are you feeling?
It's pretty exciting. It was a hard push at the end. It was pouring with rain and cold and miserable and dark. The course is covered in mud. So I really had to work for it, but it feels good now to have got it done.
I mean, you were just, because we were sort of yo-yoing back and forth for a good few hours, and then that last 2 hours, I mean, it seemed like you just lifted a gear. Was that a strategy that you had going in?
No, I had no plans going in. I had no clue what to expect. In that last little bit, I was just over it, over the weather, over the course. By 17 laps, it gets a bit boring. And I just decided to be done. So I chose to just put my head down, get it done.
What did your training look like leading up to Blue Lake?
I had Sean Collins, my dad, as my coach.
That's a good problem.
Yeah. and I did my first marathon earlier this year, and then since then I've been just gradually building. I didn't do any super long runs, and lots of recovery. That's really one of his key focuses, is recovery. And yeah, I didn't know how I would do at such a big step up distance-wise, but I felt strong the whole way.
Well, yeah, I can attest to that. You certainly look strong. What was your favourite part about the day?
Probably mid-morning when there was a break in the weather and everyone was kind of running together. We had a few of us, and every lap you'd bump into someone else you knew and have a little chat and then move on and come across someone else. It's a really great vibe at this event, and there's so many cool people that turn up.
It's something really special, isn't it? And what was the sort of the most challenging for you?
I think the leaving the aid station every time was so difficult, especially once it was dark, knowing that I had to go out and do another one. And the very last lap, the rain got worse and my torch was dimming and I was tired, and I thought I got lost many times out on that course. And my watch died at like 99 kilometers, so I even had no clue how far through the lap I was.
So it was the triumvirate of challenge, watch, yeah, dying, headlamp dimming, and just generally feeling that you got lost. It was a very technical course in places.
It was. There were some tricky track bits, and once it rained, even the nice smooth roads turned into muddy puddles and slipperiness. So it was took a lot of mental focus to get around each lap.
Ultra marathon running in the 15, 16 years that sort of, you know, it's been really growing in New Zealand, 100K seems to be not the new marathon, but there's an expectation that, you know, people will go up and step up to that distance. You're 19 years old. Do you feel a sense of not pressure, but expectation now that you have to do something else? Or are you just going to, you know, you study full time, you've got a lot on, or is this just something now that you will do as and when?
I feel like because my parents are so well known, there's always been a little bit of pressure to do big things in running. And I think probably no one actually thinks that, and it's just my mind telling me that. But I mainly do it because I want to. This, no one told me I should or said that it would be cool. I just wanted to see if I could do it. And I think that's what I'll do going forward, just if I want to do something. If that is another 100K or the next milestone that people talk of, the miler, I'll just see what happens and see if it takes my fancy.
Can you imagine doing another 60K on that course?
Not on that course, no way.
I can't. And I mean, like, you think about all the, you know, your three sisters, Zara did 60K, Annie Rose knocked out her first marathon. You know, I think about Lola, who did her marathon and sort of dragged, kicking and screaming from the course with an injury. It's incredible to see young people just going out and getting after it. What attracts you to it at such a young age?
It just looks fun.
You looked like you were having fun, and certainly it was. I mean, you know, we shared a lot of laps together, and it was amazing fun. Look, Meg, congratulations. It's a mighty achievement, and in supremely challenging conditions, knocking off your first 100K, well done.
Thank you, and you too. Such an effort out there.
It was, all right.
Wow, there you go. There you go. The race you will never forget.
I'm just
a witness. Hey, you had the cyclone conditions at Tarawera, the cyclone year.
Yep.
Did you went there for that really nasty 2015 biblical rain edition of that, were you? But how does this compare with any other race that you've been involved
in? So I was there for the cyclone year.
In terms of weather.
Yeah, I did do the race in the cyclone year one and
at Tarawera.
And then I was there with you at the outlet in the 2018, I think, when it was really gnarly. Was
that 2018?
Yeah. So that was the first year of the 100 miler. So I did the cyclone year.
Yeah.
And that was bad.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
But the thing with that was it's a longer loop. So it's a condensed. I think it was just the condensed nature of everything. It was just people looping and looping. Certainly wasn't as windy as Wu2K. If it had been as windy as Wu2K, it would have been unfathomable.
Yeah, that was some weather. Yeah.
But in terms of the, and I will say, I mean, it's not like Riverhead. So the mud in Rotorua is pretty Gucci. You know, if it had been in Riverhead, it'd be like running around on glass.
Well, you mentioned the pumicey stuff, didn't it? And that's the point. It drains away pretty well in Rotorua, doesn't it?
But then it just kept raining.
So, yeah.
So that would actually change the track every time. So the lines would be different. Wow. Yeah, it was by far the most challenging conditions I've run in. So
there you go.
But loved every minute
of it. Rightio. Well, thank you for bringing us all of that. And thank you to everyone for tuning in. We are on social media at Dirt Church Radio. You can email us dirtchurchradio@gmail.com.
You can find us on all the podcast platforms. Like and follow if you fancy. And you can download direct from the website, which is dirtchurchradio@gmail.com.
Don't forget, you, send in your, not in a threatening way, send in your greatest run ever. We'd love to hear from you. You can read them on the website, then get inspired, have a look at Ben's photo, send them to us, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com.
And I just said dirtchurchradio@gmail.com twice. Our website is dirtchurchradio.com. Go there, check us out. We're on all the, as I said, all the social media platforms. Thanks to our sponsors who are sticking around for God knows what reason, Scott Running, Further Faster, Currens, and Cieli. And thank you to our Patreon patrons and Wild Things. Stay tuned for our show in 2 weeks when we've got another great guest lined up.
Hei kona, hei kona.
Thanks, Rigby.